I read to you Psalm 82, a psalm of Asaph. God stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Free them from the hand of the wicked. They do not know, nor do they understand. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are unstable. I said, you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But you shall die like men, and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all nations. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, we come before your throne seeking your face, calling upon your holy name. You are the Lord God Almighty, El Shaddai. Yet you are our loving Heavenly Father, and you gave us your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We come by the blood of Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son. We thank you, Lord, for making yourself known to us. And we thank you, blessed Lord, that you shed your blood on the cross for us, gave us your very life so that we could have life. We thank you that you are risen from the dead, seated at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for us. And we thank you for your Spirit who leads us into all truth. We thank you, Lord, for your Spirit who dwells in us. Open our eyes that we may see wonderful truths out of thy holy law. And we pray that you will write your word upon our minds and our hearts. Come, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the previous psalm, in Psalm 81, Asaph described the Lord judging his people during one of their feast days. But in this psalm, it is the judges of the people that God indicts. In Psalm 50, we read of God calling people to judgment. Psalm 50 verses 18 to 21. If you see a thief, you are pleased with him, and you keep company with adulterers. You give your mouth free rein for evil, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I have been silent. You thought that I was one like yourself. But now I rebuke you and lay the charge before you. Again in verse 22 in Psalm 50, mark this, then you who forget God. Mark this, then you who forget God, lest I tear you apart and there be none to deliver. God is a righteous judge, and he hates injustice being carried out on the earth. And he will surely bring justice when he establishes his kingdom on earth. Man thinks that he can get away with injustice, that he can get away with violence and corruption and immorality and bloodshed. No, God is a righteous judge, and he will judge the people of the earth. Psalm 75 verse 2, at the set time that I appoint, I will judge with equity. Psalm 75 verses 7 and 8, but it is God who executes judgment, putting down one and lifting up another. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup with foaming wine, well mixed, and he pours out from it. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup with foaming wine, well mixed, and he pours out from it, and all the wicked of the earth shall drain it down to the dregs. In Psalm 82 and verse 1, the psalmist who is Asaph, he speaks and announces that the judge who is God will speak. Psalm 82 verse 1, God stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. Then in verse 8, the last verse of the psalm, Asaph prays that God will bring justice to the whole earth. Psalm 82 verse 8. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all the nations. Now between these two statements, between verse 1 and verse 8, the Lord himself speaks to the judges. Now let's observe what we see in Psalm 82. We see the judge in Psalm 82 verse 1. Then we see the judges in verses 2 to 7 in Psalm 82. And then we see the judgment in verses 6 to 8 in Psalm 82. Let's look at the judge, Psalm 82 verse 1. God stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. Since God is the lawgiver, he is also the judge. Isaiah chapter 33 verse 22. For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. God, the judge of all the earth, does what is right. When the Lord was going to judge Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham pleads with him because Abraham is concerned about what will happen to Lot, his nephew, who is living in Sodom. Abraham pleads with God in Genesis chapter 18 verses 23 to 26. Genesis 18 verses 23 to 26 we read, Then Abraham drew near and said, Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city, will you then sweep away the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to put the righteous to death with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just? And the Lord said, If I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will spare the whole place for their sake. Then Abraham continues to plead with God. Step by step he pleads with God, bringing the number down from 50 to 10. In Genesis 18 verse 32, Then he said, Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak again, but this once, suppose 10 are found there. He answered, For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it. In Psalm 82 verse 1, Psalm 82 verse 1 describes God as presiding over the congregation of Israel and also over the judges of the nation. Psalm 82 verse 1, God stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. The Lord is not sitting at a bench patiently listening to the presentation of the case. No, not like what we see in court. Because God is judge and he is jury and needs nobody to tell him the facts. He knows what people are doing on the earth and he will execute judgment righteously. Psalm 11 verses 4 to 7. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes see, his eyelids test the children of man. The Lord tests the righteous, but his soul hates the wicked and the one who loves violence. Let him rain coals on the wicked. Fire and sulfur and a scorching wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteous deeds. The upright shall behold his face. In the Lord's court, there is no defense or appeal. God is omniscient. He knows everything. And his verdict is final. It is an awesome occasion. He is standing. That's what the psalm says. He is standing and about to announce his decision. He is about to speak the verdict. Psalm 82 verse 1. God stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. Isaiah chapter 3 verses 13 to 15. The Lord has taken his place to contend. He stands to judge peoples. The Lord will enter into judgment with the elders and the princes of his people. It is you who have devoured the vineyard. The spoil of the poor is in your houses. What do you mean by crushing my people? By grinding the face of the poor, declares the Lord God of hosts. Now, in Psalm 82, the gods that are mentioned, it says there, Gods are mentioned in verse 1 and verse 6 of Psalm 82. They are not the false gods of the heathen. Psalm 82 verse 1. God stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. Again in verse 6, Psalm 82 verse 6. I said, you are gods, sons of the Most High, all of you. So these are not false gods of the heathen. Neither are these gods the holy one. Neither are these gods the holy angels. For angels cannot die. In Psalm 82 verse 7, there you see that these people die. Psalm 82 verse 7. Nevertheless, like men you shall die and fall like any prince. These gods, the word in Hebrew there, which is used for gods, is Elohim. Elohim is plural. These are people who have been given the awesome responsibility of representing the Lord on earth and interpreting and applying his law. Exodus chapter 18 verse 13. The next day Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood around Moses from morning till evening. Deuteronomy chapter 16 verses 18 to 20. You shall appoint judges and officers in all your towns that the Lord your God is giving you, according to your tribes, and they shall judge the people with righteous judgment. You shall not pervert justice. You shall not show partiality, and you shall not accept a bribe, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and subverts the cause of the righteous. Justice and only justice you shall follow, that you may live and inherit the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Priests and judges were appointed in the land of Israel, and they were given detailed instructions by which judgment needed to be carried about in the land of Israel. We read of this in Deuteronomy chapter 17. We then read in Deuteronomy chapter 19 verses 15 to 20. You must not convict anyone of a crime on the testimony of only one witness. The facts of the case must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If a malicious witness comes forward and accuses someone of a crime, then both the accuser and the accused must appear before the Lord by coming to the priests and judges in office at that time. The judges must investigate the case thoroughly. If the accuser has brought false charges against his fellow Israelite, you must impose on the accuser the sentence he intended for the other person. In this way, you will purge such evil from among you. Then the rest of the people will hear about it and be afraid to do such an evil thing. So, for these gods mentioned in Psalm 81 verse 2 and Psalm 82 verse 6, the Hebrew word used for them is Elohim. And these are people who have been given the awesome responsibility of representing the Lord on earth and interpreting and applying his law. Now, Jesus made this very clear in his quotation of verse 6 of this Psalm, Psalm 82 verse 6. He quotes that in John chapter 10 verses 34 to 36. I read to you once again Psalm 82 verse 6. Psalm 82 verse 6. I said, you are gods, sons of the Most High, all of you. Now Jesus is speaking in John chapter 10 verses 34 to 36. We read, Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said you are gods? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came and scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father consecrated and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God? We'll come to this a little later. But this is what Jesus said, that these are people. You are gods, sons of the Most High. He applies it and he says, if he called them gods to whom the word of God came and scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father consecrated and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God? Now, it's a tremendous responsibility to represent the Lord on earth. Leviticus chapter 19 verse 15. You shall do no injustice in court. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great, but in righteousness shall you judge your neighbor. Moses tells the judges in Deuteronomy chapter 1 verse 17, you shall not be partial in judgment. You shall hear the small and the great alike. You shall not be intimidated by anyone, for the judgment is God's. And the case that is too hard for you, you shall bring to me and I will hear it. As representatives of the Lord on earth, it is so important to execute justice by applying the law correctly. Civil servants are ministers of the Lord, and they will answer to God for what they have done. Romans chapter 13 verses 1 to 4. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Now, let's observe the judges mentioned in Psalm 82 verses 2 to 7. Psalm 82 verses 2 to 7, I read again from the New King James Version. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? And there the word comes, Selah. Selah is actually, it means pause and ponder. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Free them from the hand of the wicked. They do not know, nor do they understand. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are unstable. I said, you are gods, and all of you are the children of the Most High. But you shall die like men, and fall like one of the princes. In Micah chapter 6 verse 8. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? But these judges did not do justly. Psalm 82 verse 2. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? These judges did not love mercy. Psalm 82 verses 3 and 4. Give justice to the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. These judges walked in defiance of God's will. Psalm 82 verse 5. They have neither knowledge nor understanding. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. The pronoun you in verse 2 is plural. Psalm 82 verse 2. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? So the Lord is addressing all these guilty judges. They championed the causes of the guilty because they were bribed and they failed to care for orphans and widows. Exodus chapter 22 verses 21 to 24. You shall not wrong a sojourner or oppress him, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. You shall not mistreat any widow or fatherless child. If you do mistreat them and they cry out to me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath will burn, and I will kill you with a sword, and your wives shall become widows and your children fatherless. Deuteronomy chapter 10 verses 17 to 18. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God, who is not partial and takes no bribe. He executes justice for the fatherless and the widow, and loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothing. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 17. Learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, plead the widow's cause. Isaiah chapter 10 verses 1 and 2. What sorrow awaits the unjust judges and those who issue unfair laws? They deprive the poor of justice and deny the rights of the needy among my people. They prey on widows and take advantage of orphans. There are so many verses in the Bible that describe the injustice of the judges. This is also the stark reality of life today. If you are taking notes, you could actually write down these verses. If you are taking notes, you could write down these verses and look them up. I have given you some of those verses in Jeremiah chapter 5 verse 28, Jeremiah chapter 22 verse 3. All these verses describe the injustice of the judges. Jeremiah chapter 5 verse 28, Jeremiah 22 verse 3, Jeremiah 22 verse 16, Amos chapter 2 verse 7, Amos chapter 4 verse 1, Amos chapter 5 verses 11 to 12, Amos chapter 8 verse 6, Ezekiel chapter 16 verse 49, Ezekiel chapter 18 verse 12, and Ezekiel chapter 22 verse 29. Judges are supposed to uphold the law and not show partiality. Deuteronomy chapter 16 verse 19. You shall not pervert justice. You shall not show partiality. And you shall not accept a bribe. For a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and subverts the cause of the righteous. Isaiah chapter 3 verses 13 to 15. The Lord takes his place in court and presents his case against his people. The Lord comes forward to pronounce judgment on the elders and rulers of his people. You have ruined Israel, my vineyard. Your houses are filled with things stolen from the poor. How dare you crush my people, grinding the faces of the poor into the dust, demands the Lord of heaven's armies. Micah chapter 3 verses 1 to 4. I said, listen, you leaders of Israel, you are supposed to know right from wrong, but you are the very ones who hate good and love evil. You skin my people alive and tear the flesh from their bones. Yes, you eat my people's flesh, strip off their skin and break their bones. You chop them up like meat for the cooking pot. Then you beg the Lord for help in times of trouble. Do you really expect him to answer? After all the evil you have done, he won't even look at you. So, judges are to uphold the law and not show partiality. And this is a principle that also applies in the local church, in the body of Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 21. I solemnly command you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus and the highest angels to obey these instructions without taking sides or showing favoritism to anyone. Even during the glorious days of Solomon's kingdom, the officers of the state were abusing people and they were disobeying the law. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 8 we read, if you see in a province the oppression of the poor and the violation of justice and righteousness, do not be amazed at the matter, for the high official is watched by a higher and there are yet higher ones over them. Yet Solomon, he asked God for an understanding heart to judge the people. 1 Kings chapter 3 verse 9. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? In Psalm 82 verse 5 we read, they have neither knowledge nor understanding. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. Now the question is, does verse 5 of Psalm 82 describe the evil judges or does it describe the abused people? If it refers to the judges, then it is a terrible indictment against people who are supposed to know the law and walk in the light of the law. Isaiah chapter 8 verse 20. To the teaching and to the testimony, if they will not speak according to this word, it is because they have no dawn. Romans chapter 1 verses 21 and 22. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. Psalm 82 verse 5. They have neither knowledge nor understanding. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. It's possible that this pronoun they in verse 5 refers back to the weak and needy people who are described in verse 4. I read to you verse 4 and 5 of Psalm 82. Psalm 82 verse 4 and 5 I read together. Rescue the weak and the needy, deliver them from the hand of the wicked. They have neither knowledge nor understanding. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. The priests and the Levites did not always do their jobs well. And the common people did not know the law well enough to defend themselves. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Hosea chapter 4 verse 6. When the law of God is ignored, or when the law of God is disobeyed, this shakes and threatens the very foundations of society. Psalm 11 verse 3. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? You see, when the law of God is ignored, disobeyed, this shakes, it threatens the very foundations of society. We heard of that murder which took place, and how that couple was living together, not married, living together. And he strangles her to death and chops her body into 35 pieces and throws it into the forest. You see what happens. When the law of God is ignored, they don't want to get married, live together, no commitment. What happens? When the law of God is ignored, when the law of God is disobeyed, this shakes the very foundations. This threatens the very foundations of society. Psalm 11 verse 3. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? God's moral law is the standard by which man's laws must be judged. Psalm 89 verse 14. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Steadfast love and faithfulness go before you. Finally, we observe the judgment in Psalm 82 verses 6 to 8. Psalm 82 verses 6 to 8, I read to you. I said, you are gods and all of you are children of the Most High, but you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all nations. Though these people held high offices and they were called Elohim, gods, they were only humans. And they would be judged for their sins. You see, privilege brings responsibility. And responsibility brings accountability. We have said earlier that the Lord Jesus quoted verse 6 in John chapter 10 verses 34 to 36 to defend his own claim to be the Son of God. Psalm 82 verse 6, I said, you are God's sons of the Most High, all of you. John chapter 10, 34 to 36, Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law? I said, you are gods. If he called them gods to whom the word of God came and scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father consecrated and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God? If the Lord called imperfect human judges chosen by men as gods, how much more should Jesus Christ be called the Son of God? He, Jesus, the Son of God, he was set apart by God the Father and sent to the earth. When he lived his life on earth, he called people to repent. And he manifested his rule, his kingdom on earth. Mark chapter 1 verses 14 to 15. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. When John the Baptizer doubted as to whether Jesus was indeed the Messiah, the King, he sent two of his disciples to Jesus. In Luke chapter 7 verse 19, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to the Lord saying, are you the one who is to come or shall we look for another? Calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to the Lord saying, are you the one who is to come or shall we look for another? Then we read, in Luke chapter 7 verses 20 to 23. And when the men had come to him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? In that hour, he healed many of diseases and plagues and evil spirits. And on many who were blind, he bestowed sight. And he answered them, go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me. So when John doubted as to whether Jesus was indeed the Messiah, Jesus manifested his kingdom, right in front of the eyes of those two who were sent to ask him the question. Jesus manifested the signs of the kingdom in his ministry. Now coming back to Psalm 82, in spite of their titles and offices, these judges would die like any other human being, and they would pay the price for their sins. When God the judge ceased to speak, then Asaph the psalmist added this prayer that God would bring justice to all the earth. Asaph adds this prayer that God would bring justice to all the earth and not just to Israel alone. Psalm 82 verse 8. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all the nations. Psalm 9 verses 7 to 8. But the Lord sits enthroned forever. He has established his throne for justice, and he judges the world with righteousness. He judges the peoples with uprightness. When the Lord comes to judge the earth, no one will escape, and his sentence will be absolutely just. Asaph's prayer echoes the prayer of the church today. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Matthew chapter 6 verse 10. When you watch the news on television and you read the newspaper, you may begin to think that the unjust and cruel people in this world are winning, and the just and the righteous people seem to be losing. We get the same idea when we read Psalm 82. But this psalm very clearly indicates that God is part of the judicial system, and he's in total control. He's the one in charge. He will finally establish justice in his kingdom on earth, even when there seems to be so much of injustice today. Verse 1 tells us that God attends court. God attends court. Psalm 82 verse 1. God stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. The word gods means the judges. When the judges get together in court, God is there. God is there whether they recognize him or not. God admonishes the judges. Psalm 82 verse 2. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? God tells them what to do. Psalm 82 verses 3 and 4. Give justice to the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. God judges the wicked judges. God judges the wicked judges. The judges think they're trying others, but God is trying them. Who will judge the judges? God will judge the judges. Psalm 82 verse 5. They have neither knowledge nor understanding. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. When the law is not being upheld, then the nations fall apart. Psalm 82 verses 6 and 7. I said, you are gods, sons of the Most High, all of you. Nevertheless, like men you shall die and fall like any prince. The psalmist believes that one day God will make everything right. Psalm 82 verse 8. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all the nations. Yes, there is going to be injustice in this world until Jesus comes. But when the King of Kings reigns on earth, we will finally have justice in this world. Psalm 2 verses 1 to 6. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and their rulers take counsel against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. Verses 7 to 9 of Psalm 2. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Yes, one day the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ, will reign on earth. He taught us to pray. Matthew 6 verse 10. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He has also taught us to seek his kingdom and his righteousness above everything else. And that's what we are called to do as we await his coming. Matthew chapter 6 verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. His kingdom means his rule in our lives. And when we manifest the rule of Jesus Christ in our lives, we directly affront the kingdom of darkness. We affront Satan's rule. There is a war going on in the heavenly places. When we live out God's kingdom, God's rule in our lives on earth, there's a battle against the enemy. Matthew chapter 12 verses 28 to 29. But if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can someone enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds a strong man? Then indeed he may plunder his house. Believers in the Lord Jesus Christ today are in a constant spiritual battle. We are standing on victory ground because of what Christ has done for us. Christ has won the victory for us on the cross, and he fights our battles. Remember, we have died and our lives are hidden with Christ in God. He fights our battles as we acknowledge his rule and his reign in our lives. In and through him, we are more than conquerors. Romans chapter 8 verse 37. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Wherever God has placed us, we are called to manifest his kingdom in and through our lives and in the good works that we are called to do, the good works that he has chosen for us to do. One day, he will come. One day he will come. He will establish his reign and rule on earth. Until then, we press on. We press on in his kingdom work on earth. The book of Revelation chapter 12 verses 10 and 11. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they loved not their lives even unto death. So believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we must put on the whole armor of God described in Ephesians chapter 6. And we must stand against the enemy and his schemes. Let me just read to you Ephesians chapter 6 verses 10 to 18. I will suggest that you study that passage and how important it is for us to put on the armor of God as we fight this battle against the enemy and await the kingdom when Christ comes and establishes his reign on earth. Ephesians chapter 6 verses 10 to 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. We are not fighting this battle in our own strength. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So you see, the enemy, the real enemy, is not the person who is against you. The real enemy is actually principalities and powers. The authorities against, we are fighting against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. You see, the belt of truth, the girdle that holds together the entire armor, is honesty, walking according to God's word, speaking the truth in love, being honest, walking in the truth. Jesus is the truth. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ has imputed his righteousness upon our lives. The moment we trust him, he makes us righteous, he declares us righteous, and he also imparts righteousness into our lives. So as we seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that's how we are called to live. Everything else he will take care of. All these things shall be added unto you. So put on the breastplate of righteousness and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Be ready at all times to share the glorious truth of the gospel to people in darkness. so that they would hear the word of God and the Spirit of God would convict them of sin and they would repent. And you are invading darkness and bringing people into God's light. In all circumstances, verse 16, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. And this is so important for us. You know, when Paul was writing this letter, most likely he was chained. He was in prison, of course, and he was chained to a Roman soldier. And apparently when he was writing this, he would have seen that Roman soldier and the armor that he was wearing. The shield of faith. That shield is actually made of two wooden pieces. Long. It is very long. It's about 4.5 to 5 feet, they say. And it's covered with leather. And before the battle, the soldier would soak this shield in water to extinguish all the flaming darts that comes from the side of the enemy. And here, Paul is telling us, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. Faith in the person of Christ and what he has done for us. The fact that you are victorious in Christ. Exercise your faith. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation. Your salvation is secure in Christ. It is because of what Jesus did for you that you are saved. Not because of anything that you have done. Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross for you. And that's the helmet of salvation. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You see, the word for word of God there is the word used for word is not logos. It is rhema. Rhema. Rhema means the word that is needed to fight the enemy at that particular point of time, that circumstance, when he strikes, you pull out the sword, the word for that occasion God gives you. Praying at all times in the Spirit. This is one part of the armor which Paul can't identify with when he sees the soldier. But this is so important for us. One of the most important parts of the armor. Praying at all times in the Spirit. With all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. When you walk like this, you invade enemy territory and people will be drawn out of the kingdom of darkness, brought into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And this is the life that we are called to live, seeking his kingdom above everything else. Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Over to you, Joe.